I'm joined live on the phone by Helena Heffernan, who is Stroke Group Coordinator at Irish Heart. Good morning to you, Helena.
Morning.
Can you tell us a little bit, first of all, about Irish Heart? Where are you based, and can you tell us about some of the services you provide at the centre?
Yes. So our main office is based out in Rathmines, but we do have 19 stroke support groups throughout Ireland. In Dublin, we actually have 7 groups. So we have 3 on the north side, and then we have 3 on, or sorry, 4 on the north side, 3 on the south. Let's get it right now. 2 on the north side, 4 on the south side, and we have a younger stroke support group as well. So these groups are actually designed and set up to help people after they've had a stroke. What we do is they normally meet for 2 hours. Most groups follow the same format. And within the 2 hours, then we focus on social, and also then we would have a group physiotherapy for an hour. So it's very inclusive, and it allows stroke survivors to come together and to talk about their experiences and to support each other, especially for someone new after having a stroke where they're unsure of the different things that are affecting them in their life and with carers and family and whatnot. So it allows them an outlet to go and talk to people who've actually been through the same experience as them.
What exactly is a stroke, Helena, and how does it differ from a brain hemorrhage? Is there any difference?
I'm not in a medical, so I just come from a community development background.
Okay.
But there are different types of strokes out there, and I'm sure if you go onto any of the hospital websites or even onto the Irish Heart Foundation website, they might have some information. So the Heart Foundation would have a booklet that's a step-by-step through stroke for people. If they're interested, they can get in touch with the Irish Heart Foundation and they'll be able to send out that booklet to them. And that would go through kind of the different things around a stroke, what causes a stroke, the different types of strokes that there are, how common a stroke is, because about 10,000 strokes happen in Ireland each year, so it's quite a high volume of people, and 5 out of 6 of those strokes would happen to people over the age of 60. But it does, the booklet itself goes through all of the information, so all you have to do is get in touch with the Irish Heart Foundation and they will be able to send that out, so it's info@irishheart.ie.
Great stuff, thanks for that. Can you tell us about the stroke group programmes that you run? Helena, how many people can you cater for at any one time, and how does the process work? Can somebody just turn up, or do you have to be referred?
Yeah, so if there's 2 processes to getting involved within the group, one of them would be referral through local services or hospitals, and then the other is to just contact the local coordinator, or actually even any coordinator, because if you get in touch with any of us throughout Ireland, we would find out where you are and locate you to your nearest support group. So the groups itself, they have a couple of different things going. As I said previously, we do have the exercise, which is a vital part after your stroke and when you've been discharged from hospital, to continue on with your exercise. We'd also then have group discussions and chats. We would have medical professionals come into groups throughout the year. So these might be pharmacists to talk about the different medication that you might be on. There will be OTs, speech and language therapists, different people who would link in with the support groups to offer help. So if someone in the support group actually says, oh, you know, I'm having problems since my stroke with my hearing and I'm not too sure what to do, we'd be able to get someone to come in then to actually speak to the group. Then we would have different kind of games. We'd have table quizzes, boccia, and we would have support groups that would come together throughout the year. So we do have boccia tournaments in Dublin where all the groups get together. So not only then within your own support group, where you would have kind of 15 to 25 people in a group that would meet up, it gives you an opportunity then to meet other people throughout Dublin and kind of chat to them and get different experiences, but also to get involved in a fun way. We do have outings, which is really important because people after the stroke can be quite nervous about going outside or going back into large community settings.
Yeah.
So we do have like Christmas parties and, for instance, in our group in Whitehall now, we will go to the Botanic Gardens every year and then probably go out to the pub for our lunch afterwards, which is great because people then, they're going with other stroke survivors. And it's given them an opportunity to see, okay, these are the challenges that I might face. I'm not on my own. You know, there's other people out there that can help me with these challenges. And as I said, as simple as walking into a pub and having a look to see, you know, is there a disabled entrance? What are the bathrooms like? It gives them an opportunity to do that in a comfortable environment. And then we would have a respite once a year. We're just back where we go down to Cushla, which is run by the Irish Wheelchair Association. So we'd go down for 2 nights there. And so it gives people an opportunity to get away for a few days, but it also allows their family to know that they kind of have a bit of a break too. So when they're away, they know that they're in a secure, safe environment and that they're being looked after. So they can enjoy themselves and relax. We do have a younger stroke support group, which has been set up, which is anybody of working age. Now, that group is relatively new. It only started this year in February. And it's fantastic. So they're really there. They help each other. There's this whole social media setting with Life After Stroke on Facebook. And like we have young stroke survivors returning to work. They meet up every 2 months for a social event in town. And then as well as that, every 2 weeks they meet up to have a physio. But the physio is run differently. It will be very more circuit training and focusing. It's led by the stroke survivors themselves, so it will be focused on balance and things like that, on what could help them when they're kind of getting back out, you know, commuting to and from work or just returning to education or anything like that then after their stroke.
And you mentioned young people there, because I think there's a kind of a myth out there that strokes only affect older people, people of a certain age, but they can affect anybody at any age, any time, anywhere. Is that right?
It is indeed, yeah. Stroke isn't ageist at all.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's so many factors when it comes into a stroke. It can happen to absolutely anybody. It can happen to the fittest person, and it could happen to someone so young. Like, the youngest I have met is 16, but I have heard of a lot younger than that.
16?
Having strokes, yes.
Oh,
so,
my
and
God.
It can come down to stress with exams, absolutely anything. As I said, like, stroke happens. There's the thing about the strokes is, like, they are formed by blood clots, or you might have a brain hemorrhage, you know, so, like, it can happen to absolutely anybody at any age, any circumstances.
Do we know why? Is it genetic, environmental, or a mix of both? Or is it just something that randomly happens?
I don't know now. You have to talk to somebody in the medical profession for them, like, they would have all the statistics around exactly why it would happen, or you know, the percentages for the different types of strokes that there are, and what would be kind of more common within Ireland. They would have those statistics, but really, like, a stroke, it can happen to absolutely anybody.
Absolutely,
as you said, you could be out running in the park, or you could be sitting at a desk and work, or just in your sleep.
Now, something I want to touch on, if I can, and you mentioned it earlier, and it's networking. How important is networking for those who have suffered a stroke to be able to share their experiences and recovery with others who've been through the same thing?
Yeah, it's really important, because sometimes after a stroke, people start to think, you know, it's not me, I'm not the same person anymore. It's how they're affected. So it's really important for them to realise that I'm not on my own, not to be isolated or to feel that, you know, I don't understand completely what's going on. So for some people after their stroke, it can be very visible as to that they have had a stroke. And for other people, it would be mental and neurological. So for them, it can be quite difficult because you can't see it. So it is really important for them to meet other people and to see, like, I'm not on my own, that there are other people out there. And even down to, you know, people realising that, like, they're really tired or and it's fatigue that they're being affected by, where, you know, people who don't really understand what stroke is about would kind of tend to say, oh, sure, you're grand, you know, you look perfect. Where in actual fact, in your own mind, it's not working that way at all.
And again, you know, just to look at the symptoms, there's that word FAST, F-A-S-T, which is face, arm, speech and time, just to go through them. face, if you see the face appears to be numb on one side, a bit like when you go to the dentist and you get an injection that numbs one side of the face. If you see that, if you can't lift an arm, that's another sign. Speech. If your speech appears to be quite slurred, that's not right. Something might be wrong there. Something could be very wrong. And it could be an indication of stroke. And also the T, as in time. Time is crucial. Yeah. If you notice any of these symptoms or see any of this in anybody or yourself, call a doctor. Is that right?
Yes. Or ring 112 or 909. Get in touch with a medical profession as soon as possible, because time is of the essence. The sooner you can get someone into hospital, the better.
Now, it's World Stroke Day on the 29th of October, Tuesday the 29th, to be exact. Anything planned for the day, Helena?
Well, there's a couple of different things going on throughout Dublin, but the main thing would be that our stroke support groups are still happening, so if people want to come along to them, that they'll be on those days. But something that is happening, I know it's a bit over in the south side, is in Red Rua in Talla, Roland Collins, who's head of the stroke services, is going to be having a talk over there from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. on the Tuesday, and it's called "What Are We Doing About Stroke?" So it should be a very interesting event to go along to if anybody's interested.
And it is great that, you know, people who have been through this process do have something like this, because it's an awful thing to go through. And I've got to mention the families of stroke victims as well. Is there any services available for them too, where they can have a chat with people? Because their lives change overnight, within the second, within a heartbeat.
Yeah, the Irish Heart Foundation do have a carers programme where they're offering training for carers around manual handling or CPR and different things that might have affected after the stroke. But also there is a counselling service there for stroke support, both for the survivors and for their carers as well, or their family members. So all you need to do is get in touch with info@irishheart.ie, and they'll be able to direct you through to the relevant people who are looking after the different services. But the carers support that's there at the moment is really good, because it is training for family members. I'd advise people to really kind of take it up and go and see how they can help the person who has had the stroke.
I think it's fantastic, the work that you do. I really do. And as far as testimony of the service users is concerned, do you find that that people who use these services not become necessarily reliant on them, but develop a real healthy respect for them? Would that be the case?
They do, and a lot of members would view the service as a lifeline. It could be down to something as simple as being shown how to peel a potato with one hand. So you've gone from feeling that you can't do something in your own house anymore to be shown, actually, you can still do this. It's just a different way of doing it, to having people there that can help you and support you. And some people don't feel comfortable in coming along to the groups. And that's where myself as a coordinator, not only do I run the groups, but I'm also there as a lifeline for people who might not be at that point yet, that they're able to come along to the group, just need somebody to talk to or to be directed in a certain area. And that's what we're there for, is to help them. So it does provide a great opportunity for people to meet other stroke survivors, because it is a very small community. And people can get isolated very quickly. So it's a fantastic opportunity for people.
And you mentioned a figure earlier on of 10,000 a year.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. So it's. I know when you think of the amount of people that there is in Ireland, 10,000 a year is quite a lot of people having stroke.
Yes, it is.
Especially when they vary. Yeah.
In the moment or so that we have left, Helena, I just want to go through the symptoms again. Face, you see a numbness on one side of the face, as I said a few moments ago, similar to what you'd experience
so
with a dentist. Is there anything else that I've missed?
Also with the face, if you can see that the face has fallen or it's drooped on one side, or if the person can't smile, if you ask them to smile and they can't smile, or one side is smiling.
Okay.
It's a sign of a stroke.
And the arms, you won't you might find it difficult lifting an arm, speech will be slurred, and the T yeah. is the important bit. That's time. You've got to call a doctor or bring this individual to hospital straight away, because the sooner you get it fixed, I presume, the better chance you have.
Yeah, so the sooner they can get into hospital, the better chance there is of the damage being reduced within the brain. So whether it's surgery or if they have to have, if it's a TIA, so the doctor straight away would be able to identify what type of stroke it is and to help that person.
And lastly, but by no means leastly, Helena, if people want to get in touch with you, how best they do so?
Yeah, so there's a number of different ways to get in touch with us, but probably the best is to get in touch, visit the Irish Heart Foundation website, or to just send an email to info@irishheart.ie, or you can contact my mobile number is 086-130-0237.
Can you give that once more, please?
Yeah, it's 086-130-0237. And my personal email address and work is hheffernan@irishheart.ie.
Great stuff. And everybody these days is doing this thing called social media. Even me.
<Yeah. laughs>
At my age, I know. Do you do social media, and is it any use to you?
We do. So we have the Irish Heart Foundation have got their Facebook page. They also have Instagram and Twitter accounts. And then on the Facebook, there is a page called Life After Stroke, and that is run by the Irish Heart Foundation. So again, for people, if they want to go on to that Life After Stroke, they will have information. And it's a great contact to an awful lot of people within Ireland who have questions, or if they're living rurally. Also on that Life After Stroke page, every couple of months, they would have professionals on doing live talks. So whether it's exercise, there was one there actually last night, and it was to do with parenting, parenting after a stroke, and things like that. So it is a great tool to have there for people if they want to go onto it. So that's Facebook with Life After Stroke.
And again, Helena, we salute the work that you do, because we know it's incredibly important, and the people who use your services, I know just how much they need them as well. Helena, thank you so much for talking to us here on Lifeline this morning. An absolute pleasure. And we'll talk soon. Maybe we can talk to a few of the people next time who've used your services, and we can talk to them
absolutely.
About their experiences. That would be absolutely fantastic. Helena, great stuff. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you, Ron. Cheers.
Great stuff. Bye-bye.